This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, March 14th, 2012. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. Good to have you, and I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, appreciate everybody's time tonight. We're going to be talking about the magic of self-belief. We're going to talk about how important it is to in having a successful life. We're going to talk about the difference between doubts and self-doubts and not selling yourself out and a whole bunch of other things. And we're going to probably do a shorter guided meditation toward the end of the program tonight. So stay tuned for that. Metaphysical Universe is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. It's designed to explore science and spirituality. It's designed to empower the human spirit, understand the human condition better, and empower it as well. So we're happy that everyone could join us live. Or if you're listening to the archive, we appreciate you listening in too. Nice to have you. If you want to call in tonight, if you have a question or a comment, you're welcome to do that as always. The number is 714-459-3973. It's on your screen. And of course, Dr. John Hightower will be taking your calls and getting you ready to come on live with us. Of course, you can ask questions in the chat room as always as well. So, anyway, tonight we're going to talk about this, the magic of self-belief, and that's actually a very appropriate term, because when you believe in yourself, it is magic. It's magical, not perhaps in the way that a lot of people think of magic, but it's an empowering thing. It just feels so much better than to constantly worry about what others are thinking, about whether you're measuring up, and on and on and on. And so we want to really explore this topic tonight.
Because I don't think a lot of people know what it is to believe in yourself. Okay, that term self-belief.
Well, what does it mean, Vicki?
Well, I know what it means to me, but I have a lot of discussion. Well, it means to me that I trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. I have greater trust in my own thinking, my own processing, and I'm comfortable with that and comfortable with being who I am. And that, I guess, equates to I believe in me. And I believe that when I begin to trust my own thinking and I get to know myself, that it doesn't mean I'm not going to analyze things as I encounter life, you know, because we're always challenging ourselves. And I say, whoa, can I do that? Sure. Sure. But the core, my core element of who I am, comfortable with, that's what I think self-belief means. But I think a lot of people don't. I think other people may have a different interpretation of it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, what do you think they might have? What do you know?
Well, I've heard a lot of things. I think a lot of people believe self-belief is performing well.
Well,
to be honest.
It can be that, but, you know, that's also a broad topic, performing well how? I mean, are we talking athletically, you know, on the job? You know,
well, I think, you know, we're in a very competitive society, and I think if people feel like they behave well, they, you know, can compete in the society, they've got a good job, they have a house, they, you know, get a partner, they have kids, I think they believe in that they're doing the right thing to have a good life. But that doesn't mean necessarily that folks have looked into who they are. Because I think that's the difference between believing in things outside yourself and that you're okay because you're functioning well outside yourself versus actually living from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to put it, too, living from the inside out. And that's where self-belief starts. I mean, you either believe in yourself or you don't. And let's perhaps get one of the things out of the way. Is there a difference between having doubts and having self-doubts? And the answer is absolutely yes, there is a difference. You know, we can have doubts about something, about someone. That's, I mean, everybody understands that. But that's different than having self-doubts. And a lot of times we might confuse self-doubts with having doubts about a course of action, a decision, a solution, a potential solution to a problem. So, you know, you can have zero self-doubts and still be doubtful about a course of action to take. They're not the same thing. So we want to make sure that we understand, or we don't say, gee, I'm just doubting myself. Or how about this scenario? You know, you get a new job, and perhaps it's a job you've wanted. It's demanding. You know, you're not completely familiar with how it works. So we might go in with lack of confidence, maybe even calling that self-doubts. Well, again, there's a difference between self-doubts and not knowing how to do something. You know, I always say, if you know how to do something, it's really easy. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it's easy if you know how to do it. Well, when we take on a new job, we may not know the policies. We may not know have a good understanding of the company philosophy. We may not know the little ins and outs of the job we do. And that's just learning curve. But somebody with zero self-doubts would go into that and say, hey, I can do anything. I just need to learn. And once I learn how to do it, well, I can do it. No problem, but I might make some blunders along the way or mistakes along the way. That's just to be expected. I'm learning how to do it. There's a learning curve, but I know I can do it. Just got to learn how. It's like, how hard can it be? Things are easy if you know how to do them, so what's the solution? Learn how to do them. Once you do, we're good.
And I think also, if it's something you haven't done for a long time, you know, if you haven't gone back to school for a long you know, look, when I first signed on to the Institute of Metaphysics, it was really unnerving. It was. It's like, I haven't done this
you
for
and me
a long
both.
Time. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to study. I'm going to do assignments. I'm going to, you know, write exams. I'm going, oh, my God. You know, I mean, it's that, and it's that huge, overwhelming moment of, oh, can I do this? Well, of course I know I can do it. It's just, how well can I do it? Oh, wow, you know, and then that challenge.
Well, there's a good example. You know,
exactly.
It's not like you can't do it. It's like the unexpected, or you don't know. It's lack of knowing. How does it work? You know, and once you get to know it, it's, oh, okay, this makes sense. It's easy. You know, you study the material, you write your answers out, you take the exam, you move on to the next course. It's simple, but you don't know that going in, even though, you know, we try to explain it, but you got to get a feel for it. But that's the point. And this is something that everybody needs to understand, is that if you're going to do something like that or anything new, make sure you understand that it's simply a new thing and not to equate it to self-doubts. Can you do it? Sure, absolutely. Just show me how. I think so many times we all have a fear of making a mistake or doing something wrong or that kind of a thing too. And, you know, if you've listened to me at all in the past, you know the whole perfect routine. Are you perfect? What's the answer? Not just yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yes, that's the perfect answer. Are you perfect? Anytime somebody asks you, are you perfect, you don't just say yes and certainly don't say no. You say, hell yes, duh. What's wrong with you? Of course I am. Now, am I talking about being narcissistic? No. I'm talking about self-belief. I'm talking about knowing who you are and why you are who you are. And people that have that, they know who they are, why they are who they are, they trust themselves, as you said a few minutes ago. They trust in what they can do. They also don't take themselves too seriously. They understand that they're real-life human beings, and what do real-life human beings do? We make mistakes. That's the nature of us. That's who we are. It's inherent to our species. But mistakes are a great learning opportunity, and that's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we become even better. So we have to separate those two. We don't want to confuse self-doubts with something being new, or we're not used to it, or we're going back to it, or whatever it is. You say, gee, how hard can it be? Just show me how to do it. This is the kind of attitude you have to have. And that expression, how hard can it be? I encourage everyone to just adopt it. How hard can it be? Folks, people like you and me put men on the moon, unless you're a conspiracy theorist, and we didn't. But you get the idea. We can do anything we want to do. Doesn't mean we always want to do everything, but we can do it if we wanted to. That's the kind of confidence and self-belief that we're talking about.
You know, Doug, I think that there's something really important to acknowledge in our society. We're a competitive, capitalistic society. There's a winner, and wherever there's a winner, they think there has to be a loser. Wherever there's a smart guy, there has to be a not-so-smart guy. And it's like there's a formula that everybody is ingrained with at a very young age, you know, to get straight A's and to be a different kind of perfect than what you're talking about, you know, we have often talked about. So what I think it does is it builds inferiority complexes. And if people understand what that means, it's like you're never quite good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's instilled in the society at large. And what you teach, I teach, that, you know, there's no such thing except what you have come to believe as being real. And if you don't believe in that, you know, that we're just not good enough, then you can excel to heights you never knew you could. Some of the best teachers I ever had would look at me and say, well, of course you can. You know, of course, I'm talking little kids, you know, grade 6, 7, grade 9. And there's always that one teacher who would challenge you, who would kind of look like, why can't you? Why would you even think you couldn't? And you performed greater, better, and more than you ever knew you could. But that's because you had taken on a belief system that you couldn't until you challenged yourself to find out you could. So I think that we're never good enough is something that has to be challenged in the mind and just say, where did I get that belief from? Why did I take on that belief? And here's something, I'm going to change that belief because I am good enough.
Yes.
You know, and to keep reinforcing that, and then it starts to turn into your new belief system.
And you bring up an excellent point, something that I've talked about many times. There's always some reason why we don't feel good enough, why we don't feel worthy enough. And the whole concept of perfection, well, the way people normally understand perfection is that without error, with no mistakes, but that's an absolute fantasy. You don't have that. You can never have that with a human being, no matter how they were made. We have to learn by mistakes. We learn by doing. And so this whole idea, this belief that you mentioned about that you're not worthy or we're not good enough, there's something wrong with us, you got to get rid of it. You got to release it. And you say that. I release that belief. It's an illusion. You are good enough. You are perfect just the way you are. And does that mean that you don't have anything more to work on? Absolutely not. The perfect people work so that tomorrow they're better than they are today. You know, we're a perfect work in progress. You have to have a good, healthy sense of self-acceptance, a healthy self-concept, because that's where healthy self-belief comes from. It's knowing who you are and why you are who you are. And I have said that phrase a zillion times, and I keep saying it because I want it to sink in. Ask yourself right this very moment. If you're listening to me, ask yourself, do you know who you are? And do you know why you are who you are? Now, just let that slowly simmer for a moment. Who are you and why are you that person? And if you don't have an answer to that, if you can't expand on that in a conversation, you got some thinking to do. You have some pondering to do. You have some meditating to do. You need to know who you are and why you are who you are. Why is this so important? Because this is what we're talking about with self-belief. Let me give you another, for instance. If you're listening to this program, it's very likely that you're somehow involved in metaphysics in some way, shape, or form. Of course, everybody is. They just don't know it. Metaphysics is consciousness and existence. But a lot of folks do things that the, quote, normal people, unquote, don't do or that they laugh at. You know, things like Reiki or energy healing or paranormal research or, you know, any of this kind of stuff, psychic phenomena. You know, if you're into it, as I've always said, whatever your beliefs are, that's fine. Just make sure you have a reasonable basis for your beliefs, not based on fringe stuff, not based on something you can't defend or explain. So have your logically defensible basis for your beliefs. That's just goes without saying. You need to be able to explain why you believe that way. And if you can't, then you need to reassess that belief. But what about the case where perhaps a student who's studying metaphysics, they get ridiculed, perhaps by family or by coworkers or something of that nature? You know, I've heard of this, and it's unfortunate because when people ridicule you like that, they're mocking you. They're belittling you. And everybody has the right to their perspective, the same as everyone else, no more, no less. Everyone is worthy of the good things in life, no more, no less, than anyone else. So if you are ever in that situation where somebody is, you know, belittling your studies, if you happen to be a metaphysics student, you know, that's the time to show your assertive side. And I'm not talking aggressive here. There's a difference between assertive and aggressive. Aggressive is I win, you lose. Assertive is I win, you win. So can you draw that line and protect that boundary? Because nobody has the right to do that. I mean, look at me. I founded the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. I have a metaphysics degree program. I mean, there's a lot of people who think and have called me a scammer. Oh, man, they've called me everything. And yet I know who I am. I know why I am who I am. And I know that my students benefit far more than any amount of money they pay for tuition because it changes lives. This stuff I didn't go pull out of a book somewhere. This stuff has changed my life. It comes directly from my experience. And I didn't just stop there. I developed models. For example, the Life Leadership Paragon, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. That's the three skills that create self-completeness, the four, that will make your life far more successful. And that's where self-belief is also contained in there, and self-acceptance, and knowing who you are and why you are who you are. And what we're really talking about here is self-completeness. One of the things that my dad had always told me years ago, and he picked it up from a book that I now have, and it's a great book, The Supreme Philosophy of Man. It's in probably out of print. You might be able to find it online. Alfred Monopert, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But he said this. He wrote, "Explanations rarely explain." And I think that's a great piece of wisdom. Sometimes explanations rarely explain. That means sometimes you just it takes more energy, or it's not worth the energy investment to even explain it. But if you're in a situation where it's family or coworkers or somebody like that, you know, it's time to say, gee, you know, I don't ridicule you for what you're doing, and I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't ridicule me or belittle me for what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to better my life. And that's a good thing. And then you shut up and you look at them and see what they say. Hopefully they'll back down and apologize. And if they say anything further, well, you know, you know who they are. And so you don't share that stuff. And, you know, you always pick your battles too. You know, it's not like you go and preach everything from the rooftops or shout it. So pick your battles, but if anybody ridicules you, you need to have an answer. Gee, I'm trying to better my life. I'm trying to improve it. I'm trying to become more healthy in my thinking, in my relationships. I'm trying to become better in my critical thinking ability. I'm trying to understand the grand universe or multiverse. I'm trying to understand a little bit about quantum physics. I'm trying to understand, get some ideas on death and dying. And on and on and on. You know, these are all good things. I mean, I'm just trying to impress upon the listener, You need to know who you are and why you are who you are. You know, I'll stand toe-to-toe with anybody and defend everything I'm doing. Somebody wants to ridicule me for believing in psychic phenomena, well, they better be able to prove it doesn't exist. I've seen it happen way too many times. If somebody wants to tell me that there is no such things as ghosts, spirits, UFOs, you know, well, fine, prove it. Because if you can show me that they don't exist, then I'll be right there with you. But there are too many credible witnesses saying something different. And can I explain it fully? No, I can't. But I'm trying, and I'm trying to understand how it impacts the human condition. So this kind of gets my passion up, and I'm really restraining myself a bit here. Don't allow anybody to put you down like that.
You know, I think it's a pretty natural thing as we grow. You know, when you're young, and well, certainly I'll speak for myself. As I'm young and I have a different way of thinking than the general population, let's say, then my family obviously was very religious, then the community at large that's very religious, and then, you know, different kinds of thinking. I parented a little different than most, so, you know, and so there's this, you know, we grow into just living our truth. And it doesn't come easily and just automatically, especially when you're young. You know, but we live in a time, and this is the beauty of living in the 21st century, is that we each are learning respect. We are each learning to have regard for things that are different. But if you are living in a community or an environment that's oppositional to what you believe, then you're going to have to learn to stand in that truth anyway, not necessarily being antagonistic either, but right. or you want to change your environment so that you're with more like-minded people. But it takes time. It's a long time, I think, in a process as we grow. I mean, I really wished I would have had a little more of that oomph and fire when I was 20, but anybody who knew me would say, geez, how much more do you need? Because I was always outspoken. I was always kind of the devil's advocate in a way, because I didn't understand what other people were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they talk about whether it's religion or education or things, it didn't file into my brain very well, because there's some things about the world that just didn't make sense to me. And I learned to stay a little bit more quiet as I could formulate these things into my mind, and that I could find a place for myself, a place of self-expression. And look, being a reader is not exactly on the high school, you know, career mm-hmm. choice. I mean, it's not there. I never wanted to do this. It picked me. I have been a professional writer for 35 years. I have been an artist for most of my life. But, you know, it's trying to find that other ways that, geez, you know, being a reader isn't like the popular thing on the totem pole. But, you know, it's living my truth to finally stand it and say, you know what, this is what I do. It is a part of my makeup. And I'm just going to find a way to fit in the world that's comfortable, because it's who and what I am. Now, the difference between the who of the self and the what of the self is what we choose to express to the world. That's what I express. Does that make sense? Like, there has to be a clear distinction about that. Because I've heard people say, I'm a musician, it's who I am. No, it's who, it's what you do. Because if you suddenly couldn't, excuse me, play a guitar, it doesn't mean you lose the music.
Right.
So it's what you do as a natural expression from who you are. So I think that if we can each kind of get that clear in our minds that the who of you is how you're born to be. It's like your makeup, your hardwiring, your essence of soul, and just that the right, like you're a human being, you know, a sovereign being of the universe, born into a body with equal rights, privileges, and regard to every other human being born. And when we get that notion, then we can start to kind of find our way, I think, Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are very musical, but they don't know how to read music. It doesn't mean they're not going to be a good musician. They just do it auditorially instead of visually. So how do you compare the musician who can do one thing and not another to this other musician, you know? So it still doesn't change the fact that someone is born with that absolute extraordinary ability for music, because that's in their hardwiring, it's in their soul. And so I think when we can find out better as we grow, kind of who, you know, how we're built, how we're constructed, who we are, then we'll find different ways to express. And I really want to stress that, Doug, because I've met some brilliant people who work at the corner grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go home and they build really great dog houses and bird houses, and they're really wonderful constructors. You know, they're very artistic. It does not diminish, you know, they're not diminished by working in a grocery store.
Right.
And so this is where I think people get a little bit confused. They want to do something really important, purposeful. Well, what is more purposeful than serving people in a grocery store?
Yeah. Well, and you could take that same line of thinking, and I have many times. I mean, you think about such things as paranormal research, and you think about things like metaphysical research, and again, the research into consciousness and existence. How does paranormal phenomena impact the human condition? What does it mean to us as a species? What does it mean to our meaning, to our sense of meaning, our existence, to the entire grand scheme of things? What does it all fit? How does it all work together? How can it benefit people? And when you're in to study metaphysics, at least through IMHS, the Institute for Metaphysical Humanistic Science, you know, you're studying life skills. You're studying things that are going to make your life better, your relationships better. And once you apply those what you learn to do this, your children are going to pick up on it. And you're going to become a positive influence to those within your sphere of influence. So, wow. You know, what's wrong with that? I mean, doing these types of things are among some of the most noble professions there are. And so this comes right back to people making fun of or ridiculing. It's like, I know, I don't have time for that. Say what you want, but I am too busy trying to make a positive difference on this planet than to worry about those people who think I'm a nut, or people who think I'm just trying to cheat, or people who disagree with it, people who hate me because I'm not Christian. You know, I mean, talk about believing fantasy. It's okay if most of the world believes it, but it doesn't make it true. And so you have to know who you are and why you are who you are, so that you can go about your work. What is your work? Well, that's for you to decide, obviously. But hopefully it's something that does no harm and something that actually does good, does right, because that's what it's about. It's about us creating a better world, creating, you know, helping humanity to evolve to the next level.
You know, I think you said something really important there, Doug, that just because a whole bunch of people believe it doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
So again, we're back to that word of what is a belief, and the self-belief, you know, of internally living from the inside out versus the belief systems that you're stimulated to think is correct when it may not be. You know, I was raised in a very religious background. I just had this overwhelmingly curious mind to question everything, and of course that wasn't received very well, but I was always fascinated that people just accepted what they were taught. I found that actually more fascinating than the fact that I was challenged. I couldn't understand how everybody would go, oh, okay, and they just take it like it's true. Wait a minute, how can that be true? You know, here's the kicker for me, and I don't mean to pick on religion tonight at all, but it lends to belief systems. There's a picture of Jesus Christ, white guy, dark hair, in a white robe. And I was 14, and I asked one of the elders in our church, I said, I'm staring at this picture, and I'm getting scolded for not going to teach my Sunday school class. And I said, but who said Jesus looked like that? Because, you know, my logic is saying he should have brown skin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in school, I'm in school, I'm studying about different countries and different, you know, folks and around the planet, and I it just didn't compute to my brain that, okay, we're talking Jerusalem, the Middle East, it should be rather, you know, darker complected, you know, the olivey type of skin. He should have, you know, black hair. That makes sense to me. But here's the white guy, brown hair. I got kicked out. I got told I couldn't teach Sunday school anymore, which was really a relief because it was driving me crazy. But it's just that people are believing that Jesus looked a particular way when there is zero evidence to that, absolutely no evidence at all to the fact that he had white skin. In the event that, I'm going to take it right to the end of the cliff here and say there's no evidence that he even existed. But here's the point of somebody is teaching, but because it's the adult world, because it's our, you know, this is our, the folks who are supposed to know, these are our caregivers, our caretakers, these are the folks we look to for learning how the world is. And when they tell us something, we believe them. You know, they're in positions of authority and trust. And so, but here's what we have to do as we grow. Even at a young age, I encourage kids, be self-thinking, be critical thinking, have some deductive reasoning, reductive, you know, however you want to look at that, think about it. Does it work for you? Do you get that? Does it feel right? Because our senses are in there too. We are really sensory beings. So no matter what you're taught as a belief system doesn't mean you have to share it. So as we grow older, we can critically think everything.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. And that's our own minds working. That is, it means to say we're learning. When I critically think, I'm learning about how I think. I'm learning about my processing. And if I'm self-observing, I'm learning things about myself all the time. And people have laughed, actually called me arrogant, when I say, no one is more fascinating to me than me. I mean, I am really interesting.
I know, and that's the point of self-belief, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about thinking for yourself, and that is part and parcel to believing in yourself. And you look at what is a belief. Well, a belief is something that you regard to be true. It may or may not be true, but it's something that we regard to be true. And another interesting thing is that belief and disbelief are two sides of the same coin. You cannot disbelieve in something without also believing in something else. So when we talk about self-belief, it's all of these different facets. You know who you are, why you are who you are. You think for yourself. You protect your boundaries. If somebody's ridiculing you, you know, you express yourself in an assertive way. You know, when you ridicule me for what I'm doing, I feel sad. Can I ask you to not ridicule me anymore? You know, something on that order. That's the little model for handling these things. When you yell at me, I feel hurt. Can I ask you to not yell at me any longer? And you shut up and you wait for a response. If they don't agree to it, then you know that relationship is not worth keeping. So when you believe in yourself, you have to take all these different things into account. One of the things that we really haven't mentioned on this particular program is somebody who has a healthy self-belief also has a healthy self-esteem. The opposite of self-esteem is not low self-esteem, it's them-esteem. Them-esteem means you esteem them, someone else, more than you do yourself. people with a healthy self-esteem, they only need their own internal validation. They only need their own accounting. They're good. People with them esteem, they only feel good about themselves when someone else thinks they're doing what's right. So that someone else could be a parent, a religious leader, a boss, whoever, a partner, whatever. And so,
which is not to be confused with everybody needs support.
Correct.
Everybody needs acknowledgement is a healthy thing. We're a herd animal.
Right.
So as long as people don't kind of, because even when I said this to folks myself, Doug, I run into that little bit of a roadblock. And it's, well, when do we give support? When is it okay to be encouraging? When is it okay to give my opinion? When is it okay to? And I think we have to go into the next kind of thought and just have self-respect and the respect for free will of others. So as long as you keep that in mind.
It's always okay to be encouraging. I mean, and as I said on a recent show, one of the things that people need most is just an encouraging word. Sometimes it's nice to have a pat on the back. Does that mean you have them esteem? No, not necessarily. It means that it's an encouraging word. And so when we treat people in a positive way, when we are upbeat with them, when we act like we're actually interested to see them, provided we are. And if we're not, then that's a whole different matter. But, hey, how you doing? You know, how are things going? When we celebrate with them for their successes, we celebrate their successes with them. And we are genuinely happy for them, even if it was something that we wanted for ourselves. We still celebrate with them. That's an encouraging word. You know, discouragement is rampant. It is everywhere. And what are we doing to be encouraging to others? That's a big question that you can ask yourself. Can you give that gift of encouragement just in these little ways? A smile is a great encourager. It's just much better than a frown. It's much better than a blank stare. So these are all parts of believing in yourself, knowing who you are and why you are who you are, what you're doing in life, what your purpose is, what do you find meaning? And those are...
Well, I found, you just brought to mind, Doug, I'm going to insert this. There's a woman in a nearby town who works in a store. Boy, I'll tell you, she's a stone face if ever I've met one. That poor cranky old girl. You know, I had to be in that store. I was determined to make her engage in conversation and have a smile. It took about 10 visits to that store, you know. So, you know, sometimes you just got to take on a challenge and say, I am going to impact you in a good way. Yes, I am. You are going to look at me and you're going to say, how are you? And you're going to smile. And I will make it happen. And lo and behold, I did. I go in there now and she's softening. You know, it's like maybe she's got a lot of stuff in her life and maybe she's just not, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But just to soften her day and just to soften her life and just a little, it brought me such great joy. And look, who am I to take on that kind of a challenge? Well, because I wanted to. You know, I wanted to do something good for this woman. And it challenged me to find new ways to bring happiness to someone else, because it's not easy. Sometimes it's a really tough thing. But just to be consistent and perseverant and never lose sight of who you are, you know, it's like that's the key, because we're always challenged. And she kind of reminded me, I guess, at some points in my life, you know, where things haven't been going so good, you know, or, gee, you know, there's long periods of time where, oh, yikes, life's a challenge. And somebody comes along and they're determined to make me happy, I never forget that. And it's that contagion of we will spread joy if it kills us.
So, you'll be happy if I have to make you happy.
That's right.
All right, so let's talk about believing in yourself in the real world. You know, does that mean that you're always at the top of your game and always get a smile on your face and all that stuff? Well, don't forget that we're all real-life human beings, too. We have stressors and challenges and victories and defeats and all that stuff. And we have to deal with those too. So even a person who really believes in themselves and has a healthy self-belief, they are human too. And so everything's a process of learning. Again, we don't want to take ourselves too seriously. And, you know, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about us working together. And a lot of times when we start to take ourselves too seriously, we start to try to control other people or control situations when we really can't. So be aware of that. Don't take yourself too seriously. Laugh a little bit. Lighten up a little bit. If you really take an inventory of your life right now, chances are good that there's a lot of positive things in your life. And you have to focus on those. Well, when things are happening that we don't like, we tend to really become myopic on that. We focus on those things that are wrong. So we begin to believe that everything about our life is wrong.
That's just not true. When this is the value of friendships. Friendships are cultivated. They take a long time. And, you know, to really gain the trust in that, you know, it's like being at the core. And I'm really blessed because, you know, now if I've had a bad day, as you well know, Doug, once in a while, what the hell am I doing? You know, I call you up and say, or I Skype chat, say, hey, Doug, you got 5 minutes? And actually it turns into an hour. But I'm really grateful for that kind of friendship where you know that I'm not down on myself. Right. You know that I'm not. It's just a moment. And this is where we and we just have to choose people who support the journey, who aren't going to feed on the negative to say, oh, wow, you know. Because usually when folks find weakness in others, they take advantage of it. And this is another thing that we can all change, is to learn to pick up rather than to oppress or put down. So the value of friendships. And I, you know, a good friend of mine says you're only as good as the flock you fly with. You know, you look left and you look right and see who you're flying with. You know, and if some are slow and they're way behind, you got to go anyway. If some are ahead of you, that's good. You know, you're only as good as the flock you fly with. So,
great analogy.
You know, it's such a colorful visual that I often remind myself of, you know, that it's, you got to look left and right, and sometimes we outgrow people, or sometimes people change, events change people, but it can't change us, you know, who we are as an individual. We have to stay even stronger to who we are and have life events, you know, be incorporated and assimilated into being more, greater, stronger. And yes, you know what, we do question our convictions and we are tested about our core values and our ethics and our, you know, everything in a day is going to test us, but do no harm, do right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if ever we do get lost, it's just in that context. You got something, you know, one of those little touchstones to check in with. Just say, wow, you know, it's okay. Do no harm, do right. Okay, I'm back in myself again. And start from the inside forward. So I think sometimes in life it's really important to contribute to and value good friendships, but always kind of be consistent in who you are with friendships. And what I mean by that I often, you know what, when I was young I did it myself, we have a face for every friendship. And then we wonder why people don't know us. But it's because we're taking a slice out of ourselves. And, oh, you know, I want some fun and a giggle. I think I'm going to call my friend Laura, you know. Or, you know, geez, I'm feeling really sad and depressed, and I think I'm going to, you know, call Joe. You know, it's not to have a friend for every emotion, but be consistent in who we are and just go with the flow and ebbs and tides of life. And I think that's really critical.
It underscores the need to be yourself, be who you are, regardless of who's around. And it's also good to point out here that just because a person does believe in themselves doesn't mean that they won't analyze certain views. That's part of evolution. We have to do that. And if somebody brings up some point that challenges your particular belief in an area, fine, sit down, analyze it, rethink it, because now you're looking at it with perhaps some new information. And if it still holds water, great, hang on to it. If it no longer holds water, evolve. move on to something that does hold water. So,
I think that's the existential researcher.
Well, it is. And,
yeah.
You know, another point that I wanted to bring out, too, which you've been saying, you know, live from the inside out, is something I put in a different way, same thing. You know, if you want your outside world to change, you got to change your inside world first, and that starts with believing yourself, you know, believing in yourself, knowing who you are and why you are who you are. So what we're going to do with the remaining time here is, number one, sum up, you know, how you can start to believe in yourself. And I'm just going to give you a few points, and then we're going to do a guided meditation just for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes at most, to try to reinforce some of these different concepts, just a time to sit back and relax. So if you're not somebody who is, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, what can you do about it? Well, number one, understand that you are perfect the way you are, and you're getting better every day, or at least you should be. That should be your goal. You're better tomorrow than you were today, and it just continues to go. You'll learn something new. You know, if you just keep in mind, do no harm and do right, wow, it's going to take you a long way. Pay it forward. You know your core values. Know your position on things. And if somebody tries to violate a boundary, you've got to stand your ground in an assertive way. You have to let them know, look, it's not fair for you to ridicule me for what I'm doing or for what I believe. I don't ridicule you, therefore I will not accept ridicule from you on what I'm doing. You have to stand your ground. You have to continue to educate yourself. Think for yourself and understand that you are where you are because of you, because of the choices and decisions you've made in your life. It's the same with me. It's the same with everyone. If you want to be in a different place, make different decisions, better decisions. So those are a few bullet points that you can use, hopefully, to start to validate yourself. Don't depend on other people to validate you. Don't need, quote unquote, other people to be who you are. You know your work, and if you don't, find it out. Know why you're here. Know your meaning. What brings you meaning? It doesn't, and don't compare yourself to others. It's another big one. Don't compare yourself to anybody else because you're a unique person, just like the rest of us. So those are some points to help you with the self-belief. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to join in with me for just a few minutes, and I'm going to play some nice music in the background and just go through
nice music.
A meditation exercise here. This is just, we'll reinforce some of the things that we've talked about tonight and in other programs. It's a chance for you to just sit back and relax. Hopefully you're in a place where you won't be disturbed. But just start by focusing on a point straight across from you. Anything, just some spot on the wall, if nothing else. And I want you to take a deep breath in through your nose, hold it to the mental count of three, and release it very slowly out through your mouth, and just relax. It's all right. It feels so good to just stop for a moment and to relax. Focus on the waves, the sound of the music coming up, and my voice, and just relax. Continue to stare at that point on the wall. Take another deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment. Release it slowly through your mouth, and just breathe. As you focus on the waves, the rhythm of the waves, the rhythm of the music, you begin to notice that the rhythm of your breathing begins to slow, and you begin to relax even more. And as you do, you feel your eyes gently close and just take another deep breath and breathe. Breathe. focus on the music and the waves and my voice. And I want you to imagine that there's a beautiful, bright light just above your head. A beautiful, bright light, and this light has rays of light just going out into the universe, connecting with everything, touching. See it in your mind's eye. Beautiful, white, bright light with beams of light emanating outward. They're flickering just a little bit, showing the connection that you have with all that is. This is your higher self. This is your essence. Feel it. See it. And breathe. Now I want you to imagine, I want you to visualize, and I want you to pull that light right down into the center of your torso, right into the middle of your body, your solar plexus region. And I want you to feel that light. Feel it emanating light beams all around you. I want you to feel the vibration. I want you to see that light filling up your body with light. And that light is nurturing. It's comforting. It's relaxing. And it's all right. Because you are all right. That light is your energy. It is your strength. It is your essence. And you are connected with every other creature in the universe, every living thing. Feel it vibrating. Feel the warmth of this light. In your mind's eye, in your imagination, focus on this light and know that this light within you is perfect in every way. This is your essence. This is your psyche. This is who you are. And if who you are is perfect, then who you are is perfect. Every day, you're getting better and better. You understand that you are entitled to all the good things in life, the same as everyone else, no more, no less. You understand that your purpose for being here is to be that shining light, to be encouraging to yourself and to others. You are a light being, and as you focus on this light and its warmth and its comfort, you sense an energy shift within you, an energy shift to a much healthier place, understanding that you can have anything you want in life. You can go anywhere. You can choose to do anything you want. This is true. This is good. You have that strength within you. And as you focus on this light, you also understand that you believe in who you are. And as the days unfold, your reason for being becomes clearer and clearer in your mind. As the days unfold, you begin to feel just a little bit lighter. And all of your relationships become even healthier than they are now. You understand that you have the right to be who you are without judgment. just like anyone and everyone else. And you hold on to that right. You cherish that right to be who you are, because who you are is perfect. Who you are is unique. There is no one else like you. No one at all. And that's good. Focus on that light. Feel its vibration. I want you to take a moment now. And I want you to focus on what you want most. Right here and right now. Focus on what you want most. It can be more than one thing. I want you to choose the one thing that you want most. And I want you to send it out on those light beams right out into the universe in a positive way. Do that now. See it traveling along those light beams out into the universe. And that is your deliberate intent. Now, I want you to also think of one or two or three things that you are truly grateful for. And I want you to send that gratitude right on out into the universe. Do that now. And lastly, I want you to think of someone who could use an encouraging lift. And I want you to send that positive energy right out on out to them. See it traveling on those light beams. See that light within you, which is pure and perfect. And once it's complete, I want you to allow that light, that soul light, to resume its natural position right above your head, knowing that it's always there for you, because you believe in yourself, and every day you're getting better. Take another deep breath as you begin to open your eyes and come to full waking awareness, feeling that you are perfect the way you are, that you deserve the good things in life, that you're worthy of them, and that you deserve your own best behavior at all times. All right, hopefully that little meditation been relaxing, been helpful.
Thank you, Doug. That was fantastic.
And hopefully nobody's sleeping. Could wait a couple of minutes, then you can sleep.
If I can put in a request, will you do a meditation likened to that for us next week when we have our spring solstice?
Sure, and I'm glad you brought that up.
That would be awesome.
Because next week is our spring event, our ceremony, our rite of equinoctial equilibrium. And we hope that you will join us for that special show next Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Have a candle ready to join in with the ceremony, and we'll do that. It sounds like a good idea. We appreciate everybody tonight joining us. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate those who are listening to the archive. Hope you'll join us next week, and we've got some other good shows, good topics coming up as we continue. And if you have any you'd like to hear, well, let us know. A couple of coming up, characteristics of success, can't talk anymore, and how to live before you die, thanks to Vicki.
Interesting one. Thank you so much, Doug. Fantastic show. I love these discussions. Thanks, everybody.
Everybody have a great week. Best to you. We'll talk to you next week. Good night.